We opened our service with this passage of Scripture from John 14:1. Our Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I confess to you, this Scripture has been on my heart for some time now. Let not your heart be troubled. Back in Job 5, verse 7, Job said, "This man that is man is born into trouble." He said, "As sure as the sparks fly upward from the fire, man is born into trouble." And then a few pages over, he said, "Man that's born of woman is a few days full of trouble." Well, we're certainly not alone in this thing of trouble. Our Lord, look at John 11. Turn to John 11. John 11, verse 33. Here we read that when our Lord saw Mary weeping, when he saw her weeping, verse 11, "And the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled." Our Lord was troubled. The Lord saw many weeping. There he saw Mary weeping at his feet and those many Jews around him. Mary couldn't even speak. She could only weep. No doubt he thought of man's sin, of man's inability, of man's sorrow and grief. But we read that he groaned in the spirit. Our Lord groaned in the spirit. Here we see, if we read on in verse 35, that Jesus, he wept. Our Lord wept. And we see a glimpse of his humanity. Our Lord, he had a real human soul. He was subject to the same passions that we are, yet without sin. David, of whom it was said, "I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." God said that about David. And David certainly knew something of trouble. David was certainly acquainted with trouble. His son, that son that Bathsheba bore, lived 7 days and died. David grieved over the death of his son. He had Saul going about trying to kill him. He certainly grieved over that. His sons had rebelled against him. They were rebellious. And then his son Absalom was killed. David knew something of David. David was well acquainted. He was well acquainted with grief and with sorrow. In Ecclesiastes 3, we read, "There's a season, a time, a purpose for everything under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance." This life certainly isn't filled with laughing and dancing, is it? There's a time to weep, and there's a time to mourn. Times of trouble. Our Lord said, "In this world, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be sorrow and pain for the believer." Well, what should we be reminded of during these times? It's looking at Psalm 31. If you'll turn there with me this evening, this will be our text. Psalm 31, beginning with verse 7. Four or five things that would be good reminders for us in times of trouble, in times of sorrow. Look beginning in verse 7. David said, "I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy." I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. And here's the first point. For thou hast considered my trouble. He's speaking to the Lord. If you look back in verse 1, you'll see David speaking to the Lord. He said, Lord, you've considered. You've seen it. You've waited. In Hebrews 4:15, we read, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted, just as we are, yet without sin. In times of trial, in times of sorrow, in times of difficulty, we go to our Lord. Consider. Consider who it is we go to. Consider, anything we experience, he's experienced it. Our Lord's experienced it. He's a faithful and merciful high priest. He knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. And he's considered my trouble. See that? Think about that, that the Lord would think upon his people. That he would consider us. It's my trouble. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, you have considered my trouble. You've seen it. You've waited. He's directed it. He orders all things after the counsel of his will. He's directed it, and listen, he set the bound of it. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of it all. He'll bring it to pass. Only he can. Only he can. You have considered my trouble. The Lord has considered my trouble. You know, when a man considers things, we put a lot of thought into it. You think about it, and you plan it out, and you do all those things. When you consider it, you're giving everything you got into it. This didn't say man's considered my trouble. He said, Lord, you've considered. Imagine when the Lord looks upon, when he considers our trouble. Nothing left undone. You've considered my trouble. Second, look back in our text. Look at verse 7. You've known my soul in adversity. Now, it's been said that adversity is the true test of friendship. I thought I'd heard that somewhere, and I looked it up, and I've actually read that somewhere. But isn't that the real test? And most of the time in adversity, friends tend to shy away. We don't see much of them in times of trouble. True friends we do, but most people who claim to be friends in times of trouble, they're nowhere to be found. But he said, Lord, you've known my soul. You've known my soul in adversity. David said this. He said, when my mother and father forsake me, those that you would think would be oh so close, David said, when they forsake me, the Lord will take me. You've known my soul in adversity. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 16. I was thinking about this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel 16. Take just a little bit of time to read it. Look, beginning with verse 1 of Ezekiel 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these to thee. to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. I just wonder how many passed by. How many passed by? But he says, when I passed by. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxed and great, and art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed thy blood from thee. I anointed with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen, covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments and put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God. He'll not pass his people by, will he? He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Romans 5, verse 6 of Romans 5. When you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Nothing to recommend us to God. Repulsive in his sight, dead in trespasses and sin. Not just undeserving, but hell deserving. Deserving of nothing but death and condemnation. And we read on, he says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's considered my trouble. He's considered my soul. He's known my soul in adversity. And back to our text, back to Psalm 31:8. Here we read, he has not shut me up into the hand of mine enemy. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of mine enemy. To be shut up into the hand of the enemy is to be completely given over to his power. Completely. But the believer's not been shut up in the hand of the enemy. He's not been shut up in the hand of death or Satan, let alone man, or even ourselves for that matter. We've not been shut up in the hand of the enemy. Rather, we're kept in his hand. We're kept in his hand. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 25. You guys are familiar with this. You're familiar with this story. Here in 1 Samuel 25, David was in the wilderness with his men. And he sent 10 of his young men out to go to Nabal. Nabal was a prosperous man. Nabal had, as far as this world goes, Nabal had much. And David said to his young men, he said, you go to Nabal and you greet him by name. And you let him know that we come in peace. We've not bothered his men. We've not bothered his animals. In fact, we've been if anything, we've protected and kept him. And you ask him, give unto David whatever's in your hand to give. And look at Nabal's response here in verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants, and he said, "Who's David? Who's David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water?" Kind of sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. "Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my shears and give it to men of whom I don't know who they are?" And David, when the servants came back to David, he was certainly not pleased with Nabal's response, and he took 400 men, and they girded their swords, and he was heading up to kill all of them. He was going to kill every man in that place, but one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and explained what happened, and Abigail goes and intercedes on behalf of her husband. She, you know the story. She brought bread and wine and raisins and corn and interceded and stopped David. And look at verse 25. She says, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly's with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil be just as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord as a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But look at this. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God." Bound, we've not been shut up in the hand of the enemy. We've not been given over to the hand of the enemy. Rather, we're bound up. Bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord our God in his hand. I had an uncle that would, he'd stick a quarter in his hand. He'd say, "You can have it if you can get it out of my hand." And I'd pry and pry. I could never, ever get that out of his hand. That was just a quarter in a weak old man's hand. We're bound up in his hand. Nothing can get us out. Nothing can take us away from him. More secure. We sing that song. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Now back to our text, back to Psalm 31. "I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Thou hast not shut me up in the hand of mine enemy. You've set my feet in a large place." The old writers, they say that's a reference to liberty. He set his people at liberty. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Turn to Isaiah 61. Read this together. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. Liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." He has proclaimed liberty. This isn't merely a suggestion or a recommendation. It's a proclamation. He's proclaimed it. He's declared it. The captives are set free. Free from the law, free from sin. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has set my feet in a large room. And then fifth, here we see a cry for mercy. David says, have mercy upon me. O Lord, for mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Now we read earlier, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He said, my eye is consumed with grief. You mothers especially, you can look at your children. You can look at their eyes and you can tell when they're sick. That always amazes me. You just look at their eyes and tell that they're not feeling well. He said, my eye is consumed with grief. It's evident. It's evident that David is grieved. Maybe from tears, I don't know. Maybe from trying to hold back tears as we're prone to do sometimes. He said, my eye is consumed with grief. My body, my soul, my innermost being is consumed with grief. Oh, it's a time of trouble. Have mercy on me. That's his cry. Have mercy on me. Turn over just a couple pages to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, beginning with verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. What's my hope when I cry unto him? His ears are open to their cry. I can remember, Mimo, you probably won't like this, but I can remember when Isaac was just little and we had determined it was time for him to sleep in his own bed. And I can remember we took him in the room and we laid him down in that bed. We just closed the door just a little bit. And he cried. He cried. But now we were right there. We were close. We could hear his cry. And finally he just settled down and he went to sleep. You know, if we can hear the cry of our children and take concern and watch over. Consider what our Lord says. He hears. He hears our cry. He hears our cry. He says he hears there. That's particular, isn't it? Read that again. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. He hears the cry of his people. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That doesn't sound to me like God loves everybody, does it? Huh? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry. What an amazing thing. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them. He hears our cry. His ears are open to them, and he hears them. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When our hearts are broken, we tend to look all over for relief and even sometimes question our Lord's presence. But listen, he's nigh. He's near them that are of a broken heart. He's near them. Many, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But here's our hope. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. The same Lord that sends the affliction, He'll recall it when He's accomplished His purpose in the matter. Now turn back to our text. I just want to close by reading the rest of Psalm 31. And pay attention to how many times there's a reference to our Lord. We see this word thy and thee and thou and Lord beginning in verse 10. David said, my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of my iniquity. There's my problem, my sin. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, especially among my neighbors, a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without, they fled from me, didn't want to be around me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times. Whether that's 7 days, whether that 70 7 days or 70 years, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me, not for anything I've done. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We started our service with this passage of Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me. Well, he's considered my trouble. He's known my soul in adversity. He's not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Rather, he's bound us up in his hand. He set our feet in a large room. Let's cry for mercy. Cry for mercy. See, here's his children. Oh.